All right. Welcome. We are Galexis. A pleasure to be speaking with you once again. Our topic on safety, on trust, and on confidence is perhaps a more significant discussion than some. We have spoken many times of how you are moving into a new reality framework, which you yourself are putting together for your own life. And in the process of that, creating a momentum energetically on the planet to help bring forth the great shift, the great consciousness change that you have incarnated here to experience. This new platform, this new paradigm, this new foundation of the new reality, we have delineated in four different pieces, four elements, four foundational pieces. Just as when you build a building, you have four corners, four posts, structure. All right, if you do numerology, four, structure. These are the basics of the new paradigm that you are working on. And you work on them at your choice, at your focus. You and your reality, of course, are having this interweaving play where you are learning things at the rate that is appropriate for you, as you're manifesting a life that is perfectly appropriate for you, as you're discovering and shifting and changing and growing always. You'll focus on these four in no particular order. However, we found that safety and trust, which is one of these foundational pieces, is generally the last one you get the hang of. The others are love, freedom, power, and then, of course, safety, trust. And the reason for that is pretty easy to figure out. You are living in physical bodies, and physical bodies are generally not that safe. The reason we're saying that is that that is the part of you that is not eternal. That is the part of you that is subject to trauma and to death. That is the part of you that's temporary. It is the fact of that temporariness that makes life have that scary edge to it. Because you know your time here is temporary, and because, as part of your choice to become physical, you also chose to let your memory of who you really are and of the greatness of yourself and of your light level, your power levels on the other side, you let that go. You dropped your memory because part of the physical plane experiment was to explore, to create from scratch, and to rediscover the truth. And in that forgetting, you forgot that you are loved. You forgot that you had free choice. You forgot that you were a powerful, dynamic, incredible light being, a powerful reality creator. You forgot that you were eternal and forever connected to the source, to the one. You forgot. You entered the realm where there's the illusion of separation, known as physical plane. In that sense of separation, your perceptions of it from infancy onward, as soon as you discovered that you were separate, somewhere between age 1 and 2, you discover that to your great shock and horror. Before that, you think you're one with everything. You're one with your mother. You're one. Whatever she feels, you feel. Just like when you're in the womb. If your mother has an emotion, you have the emotion. If your mother's upset, you get upset. If she's stressed, you're stressed. If she's sick, you're sick. You don't know a distinction in the womb. When you're first born, you still don't quite get it. You're just kind of discovering and gestalting and figuring out your reality. And then at some point you discover that, oh my mother can actually disappear. She can leave the room and I am alone. And that concept of being alone, very shocking, very disturbing. That is why so many people have to end up in therapy dealing with fears of abandonment that date back to that time. The fear of abandonment is there. You know that you're helpless. You know that you're powerless. You know that without your mother taking care of you, feeding you, nurturing you, you'll die. You suddenly discover that you need this person to take care of you. You can't do it yourself. You don't know how to function. And once you get this idea of separation, the world becomes an unknown. See, until that time, the unknown didn't bother you. But as soon as you felt the separation, as soon as you felt pain and you hurt yourself, yes, your mother may have come and kissed it and put a little bandage on it. But that experience of pain, that was a shock. Pain and suffering, that was a shock to you. It wasn't something you were used to on the other side. It was part of your new, brand new experiences on the physical plane, and frankly, you didn't know how to deal with it. Now, you have a part of your brain known as the limbic brain. It is an old brain. This limbic brain is oriented around survival. This brain is fully developed very early in your life. As soon as you can feel fear, the limbic brain will begin to set into motion the cascade of hormones that, yes, even in a child, the hormones that enable you to fight or flight or whatever you need to do in response to the challenge, in response to your fear. It is part of that limbic brain plugs into the pituitary gland, the master gland in your brain. The adrenal glands, which have to do with energy. They're the ones that keep your energy up. They keep your blood pressure up to normal. They keep your blood sugar up to normal. They give you energy. They're the juice that you run on. And also the third one, being the hypothalamus. Again, a brain glandular. The hypothalamus balances out these hormones, and it balances the nervous system. It gives you signals. It translates them. It figures things out. It's the one that determines how scary things are and how strongly your body needs to respond. Between the pituitary, the hypothalamus, and the adrenals, they form what is the HPA axis. And the limbic brain, when it gets input and sensings, will send it to you and say, respond now. The pituitary will assess. The hypothalamus will figure out all the chemicals that need to be done. And the adrenals will do the work. Now, because it's established in childhood, a time when you're powerless and relatively helpless and dependent, your urge for survival is founded on a sense of being incomplete and not in control and not in power. Yes, you go into adolescence. Adolescence, of course, teenage years can be pretty rough, emotionally speaking. They can be rocky. And there you also have a lot of activation of survival. But this type of survival has to do with bonding with the group, belonging. And there's a tremendous fear, and not of abandonment, which you have in childhood, but of humiliation or embarrassment, of rejection. Again, the whole world out there is big. You still don't know how to function fully in it. You cannot make your own living yet as you enter into adolescence. You can't vote, you can't, you know, have your bank accounts and understand all of that stuff. And so there's a big unknown out there. As you grow, as you move into your 20s, and you get out into the world and become the adult, discover what that means, discover what you need to do out there in the world, connecting with people on and being on your own as your own identity, being a self-sufficient functioning unit, perhaps even getting married yourself and having children yourself. Whatever you're doing in your 20s, you have a greater world view. You see kind of what needs to be done. But you also hold a vision of the future of what you want out there, because you don't really understand, nor do you really trust, that everything's going to work out well. That's when suddenly you find out that all your opinions and attitudes don't amount to too much. That somehow your boss has more say. You still are not in the top dog. You're still not in power. And by that time, you've had injuries. Your body, you know, is vulnerable. You may be still at peak healthy physical strength. But still, you want to maintain that. Bodies are very important to a young person. It's part of that quote-unquote meat market, that dating scene and all that kind of stuff. How you're thought of and all. Continuing that adolescent fears. So in your culture, you are not supported in your learning, in your education, in your development of the feelings of safety, of security, of trust, and of confidence. Some of you have more poise than others and show more confidence at an earlier age. But none of you yet, as you are in your 20s, really know how to trust. Many of you have also had situations in relationships, friendships, and business situations where you thought you could trust somebody and they let you down. You can't trust. Some people get the idea you can't trust anybody. So don't ever trust anybody. Be very cautious. Open yourself up very, very little, very slowly, if at all. Stay hidden, it's safer. And what they're looking for is not just the avoidance of pain, but they're looking for a sense of safety. A sense of safety you don't tend to get in the physical body. After all, one of the things that you agreed upon when you came here was that you did not know the moment of your death. Some of you will know you're dying, and some of you will know when you are going to die a few days before. But that's tops. Most people only get it maybe the same day. Some people don't even get that. So you're not really informed. If you knew the day you were going to die, then you would have tremendous bravado, perhaps, up until that day. But you still wouldn't be able to trust yourself necessarily. You wouldn't be able to trust that you could make good decisions. You couldn't trust that everything would work out well. Who wants to suffer terribly for a long, long time before you die? You don't know that either. Some people have cancer and they battle it for, 6 years, 8 years. That's a kind of a long stretch. Most people only, fight two or three. But some people really fight there a long, long time, suffering tremendous limitations. The body can really put you through it. What you're looking for is safety. It is an intangible energy. It is a quality of being. Safety is the feeling, the sense that you get when there is no fear at all. The absence of fear. Safety comes, the sense of safety comes when you know that you are loved. Think about how good it must feel to an infant or a very, very young child to be held by their mother in the lap and be sung to and rocked to sleep. That's a feeling of safety. They're loved. There's no danger. There's no fear. They have a protector there. Most children expect their parents to protect them. When you're an adult, you don't have any protectors. And that's part of what makes it kind of scary. So seeking safety, you seek protection initially. Many people in the spiritual, metaphysical path will do all sorts of things to protect themselves. Most shamanic rituals have a lot of protection in them, to protect from evil spirits, from dark forces. These are the emotional and mental permutations of fear and of lack of trust and safety, a fear that there's forces out there that are too big, that are too much for you, and hopefully they're not going to hurt you too badly. Let's protect. Let's get a divine parent here. Let's call in the Virgin Mary or a spirit guide or someone to protect. To protect you. To protect you. To keep all the bad stuff away. Coming with that is a hope that there'd be some kind of guarantee your life will work. If you guarantee your life could work, yes. Yes, if you could just get a guarantee from your spirit guide, then you would be okay. You'd be safe. You wouldn't have to fear. Well, as you've probably discovered by now, you never get a guarantee, ever. There's no guarantees in life at all. Maybe there's one, and that is eventually your body will die. You've got a guarantee on that. You're not going to make it out of here alive. And we have a surprise for those people who think they're going to ascend in their physical bodies. They're not. Ascension is not a physical thing. People who are so scared of dying want to imagine that they'll have these bodies forever. But would you want your body forever? No. On the other side, who would want a body? Oh, it would just hold you down. It would just be such a drag on you. When you ascend to a certain vibrational level that's beyond physical plane. You just don't take your body there. You go to a place of great bliss and you go to a place of great safety. But while you're here on the physical plane, you can worry about hell. Oh, on the other side, there's all this horrible stuff that could happen, all these dark forces. The astral plane is filled with all these malevolent forces. So even if you don't feel particularly safe here, you can feel even more scared about your reality on the other side. That's why some people are just terrified of dying. Oh, I'm going to go into the last judgment, and I'm going to be judged a sinner and sent to hell. Or purgatory, or whatever your belief system. Or I'm going to have to incarnate in a really tough lifetime and learn my lessons. No, there are no lessons really. So, nothing really to learn. But a lot to experience, a lot to open up to, a lot of choices to make. And most of you on the spiritual path have worked with protection. Some of you who do things like massage and healing and so on, know that the old shamanic way of doing it, the old-fashioned way, is that the shaman would take on him or herself the physical issue of the person. And then because they knew, the shamans knew their rituals, they could shrug it off, they could clear it out. And they worked with spirit guides who could help them clear it out and so on and so on. But you see, a lot of spiritual people, they get into so much empathy with their clients. The clients have stuff that's similar to theirs, and they can take it on. And then they start thinking it's negative. They start thinking dark thoughts. Oh, I'm taking on that person's dark energy. It's not dark. There is evil in the world. We're not going to go into a description of it. But the darkest forces are the forces of unexpressed emotion, of shame, of sense of unworthiness, incompetence, and lack of love, ability, and value. In those places, yes, it's very dark. And in the collective, there are people who create what are known as thought forms. And thought forms can be negative entities, right? It's conjured as an idea. But it is given so much belief that it becomes a living thought form in the collective. This can be the negative entity. There are people who spend, oh gosh, who advertise, who are absolutely proficient at clearing people of negative entity attachments. But these are people who fully believe in the whole system of protection. The thing is, though, no matter how protected you try to be, you never feel completely safe. You can feel a bit more secure. Security is like putting extra locks on your door so that nobody will break in, or they will be hampered at the most and discouraged from breaking in, because you know that there's no way you're going to get a really, really good burglar out of your house. They know all the tricks. So those locks on the windows and the doors only keep out so much. But they give you a little sense of security. It's a protection energy. It's still, you don't feel safe, but you feel better. You can kind of ignore the little fear that's underneath there. You can kind of put it aside, the fear that something bad would happen to your stuff, or worse, to you. While you're on the physical plane, it is virtually impossible, unless you have a certain connection to the divine, to truly feel safe. Safety, as we said, is an intangible. If you are plugged in to the divine, if you're plugged into the love of the divine for you, like that moment that you have as an infant in your mother's arms, feeling totally safe, you can feel it too. Now, safety is distinguished from trust by a certain level of complexity safety is way more simple. It is a very simple, clean, clear, direct state. You know when you feel safe and you know when you don't. If you're plugged into and connected to the divine and you feel the love of the divine and you feel the oneness, you feel safety. It's not safety in your physical body, because your physical body still isn't safe. It is still vulnerable. It can still suffer. But you can feel safe in your heart, in your spirit, in your soul. But trust has more to do. It's more of a mature you. It's a more complex you. Just when you're a child, safety, you can feel safety. It takes an adolescent, a young adult, perhaps an adult, to begin to get the glimpse of what trust is about. You see, you came with a divine plan. You and your friends, your crew on the other side, made some plans for you, kind of sketched out the broad themes of your life, gave you plenty of rope, plenty of leeway to play, so that you could be spontaneous, so that you could get into the present moment and really experience all the things that are here. And you will call to yourself, your reality will bring to you all those things that are your major themes. So, for example, some of you, a major theme has to do with making money. Others of you, a major theme has to do with getting a love relationship. Another theme may be health. Another theme may be spiritual discovery. And your reality will very agreeably, and we spoke about this at great length in the evening that we entitled Making Your Reality Your Friend, your reality will give you all the input you need to work on your themes. Now, you have a major challenge, which is not just a theme, it becomes an issue when it's a challenge consistently, when you have a struggle with it. And we call that the commission of challenge. That's your favorite place that you struggle. Everybody has their favorites. And you can tell what's your favorite because it's the place that you go most frequently. Now, we want to point out that it's not given to you as a punishment, your challenges, that is. They're not given to you to force you into learning some lesson that you haven't, because you're so stupid, learned yet. These challenges are not sent to you to make you suffer, to kind of clear you of all your debris and negativity and purify you. No. Your challenges are sent to you out of love, so that you can grow. Look at your greatest commission of challenge. Look out the greatest consistent area of challenge in your life where you have struggled probably the most. And you'll find a tremendous opportunity for spiritual development there. To develop yourself, to develop your power, develop your capacity of choice, develop your identity, to develop your resources, your ways of responding, your strategies. Tremendous developments take place when you're under challenge. But if you think of them as bad things, first of all, you don't learn very well. So they have to repeat. If you think of them as bad things, then your recovery time takes much longer. Because you're in resistance, because you're in judgment of it, because you take it personally, think about how much harder it is for you to deal with an issue if you take it personally. Someone says something stupid and slights you. If you take it personally, how much heavier it is than if you don't and you just go, oh yeah, ha ha. It's your burdensome focus, intense focus on working on that issue or using that issue to grow your awareness, to grow your powers, your strengths. If you can understand that peace, that everything that comes to you is potentially very helpful for you. At the very worst, a challenge comes to you and you'll say, oh gosh, look at this. This is where I always throw my power away, and here's where I mess myself up and abandon myself and do all sorts of stupid stuff. I'm not going to do it this time. Then you've learned whatever you wanted to learn about it, and you have grown, and you'll grow past those issues. You don't grow past those issues by working hard and judging yourself and analyzing every detail. Might be valuable the first time, but dear ones, your commission to challenge is something you do over and over and over. After a while, it gets pretty boring. So what you want to do is to recognize this concept that it's all for you, that you, in a way, have called for it so that you can see more of who you are, so that you have the opportunity to step into your power, into your light, to be a free being, to love yourself, to make empowered choices for you. If you can see it that way, you're beginning to get the divine plan. And when you get the divine plan, you begin to see the perfection of it. What comes to you is perfect. That doesn't mean you don't do any changes to it. No. It's perfect for you, for your development of yourself, for your awareness and awakening of who you are. And you can step up to the plate as the light being that you are, and those challenges will dissolve away. That's why we talk so much and emphasize so much issues around self-image, personal identity, how you see yourself, how you honor and respect who you are. But if you can get it, if you can get that concept, you can begin to trust the divine plan. And if you will notice that even if time and time again you respond the same way and you get the same stupid results, and you beat yourself up or go and brood or whatever you do, if you keep at it over and over and over again, you can see the consistency of the plan. You can see, look how determined I am to create this challenge and this stress for myself. Amazing. And I respond to it the same way every single time. You're a powerful reality creator. You and reality working together know just what to send your way to where you can recognize, look, I don't have to give my power away this time. Look, I don't have to take it all personally this time. I don't have to knee-jerk, automatically respond the old ways anymore. I can be who I choose to be now. I can love myself. I can value myself. I'm a free being and I can have choice. And here's what I choose. When you get it, that type of lesson or that type of challenge just starts to dissolve away. Once you get that pattern and understand how this works, you can trust the divine plan. You can trust that no matter what you've done, no matter how you respond, you have survived it. You have made past it to another day. Perhaps it'll come back in another form. But you don't die. You don't crumble into total nothingness. You picked yourselves up, courageous beings that you are, and dust yourself off and start up again. You're hardwired for optimism. If you didn't have that, what would happen? Right? It's part of your connection to the divine. Eventually you get that everything that comes to you is part of the divine plan to help you with your themes, to help you grow in the most elegant and beautiful ways into being that person that you are, to being that being of light, the awakening and awareness of yourself. That's what you're doing here, is discovering yourself and learning how to create. So, you can begin to trust that you have a divine plan, and you're not going to get challenged with something that is too big for you, believe it or not. Some people have had terrible, horrendous challenges, but it's not too big for them. You could look at somebody else's challenges. I would never be able to make it through that one. But that's not yours. That's not your challenge. Know that any challenge that comes to you will only come to you if you have the capacity to deal with it. You have the resources. You can build the resources. You can build your strengths to deal with these things. That's why you keep repeating it. Gives you time to figure out new responses and new resources, new strategies. But once you start getting that and see for yourself, you all have experienced this, where an old issue shows up and you respond differently than before and everything changes. And you go, whoa, wow, look at that. That's when you can say, this is the divine plan in action. I got it. And I can trust that whatever comes to me, again, I can get it. I can rise to the challenge. I can deal with it. I can learn enough. I can respond well enough. I'm conscious enough. I'm aware enough. I can learn. It won't do me in. What do they say? Whatever challenges you, it will just make you stronger. They generally say that in a negative kind of laughing way. But it does. It builds your muscles. Your muscles of love, your muscles of will, your love muscles of power, your muscles of choice. That's what the divine plan's about. And that builds trust when you get it. When you get that you can handle whatever comes, you have confidence. You can trust the divine plan. You begin to trust that your life is going to go okay. You can begin to trust that things can be better if you wish them to be. That you have opportunities always. And that there are more possibilities ahead for you to choose between. You can trust that it's there. It has always been there. And it will always be there. As you get older, some of you take on collective aging beliefs that you're going to get weaker, sicker, and poorer, and lonely. These are terrible, terrible limiting beliefs. They don't have to apply at all unless you choose them. So be very aware what beliefs you choose, because if you have a belief that's standing in the way of your experience of the divine, like that, like those limiting beliefs, guess what? Your reality is going to bring you realities that challenge that, that would validate that belief, to give you the opportunity to say, oh, I don't choose this one. I'm going to respond differently. I'm going to stay in my light. I'm going to stay in my power. I'm going to envision a different future for myself. So trust the divine plan. It's there for you. Also, you don't have to have protection if you're connected to the divine. If you're in the illusion of separation and feel abandoned by the divine, oh, I got thrown into this physical plane, darn it. This terrible physical plane and all the physical, oh gosh, I'm not really enthusiastic about being here, but I guess I better. One of these days I'm going to ascend back to heaven and everything will be fine and I'll, one day I'll be through with all the cycles of birth and death. Whew, oh, I'll be so grateful. Oh, that earth life, those earth lives were just terrible. You see, that doesn't work. What you want to do is find your sense of power, your sense of self, your light being self while you're here. And that will build your trust. And the more you stay connected, not to a spirit guide for protection. Everybody uses their spirit guides first for protection. That's just the first lessons. After a while, you begin to have friends in them. They become your friends. Then they become your partners. Then they become your muses. They inspire you. Then you can just ask them anytime you want for an uplift, and whoof, you'll get an uplift. You will never feel lonely. They'll be right there with you. But most of you are trained not to connect with your spirit helpers. You were freaked out of it when you were children. So all of you let your spirit helpers go. Okay, I'm not going to acknowledge you anymore. Sorry, I can't do that now. They say you're bad and evil. I can't do that. And you say goodbye to them. And somewhere you're 2 or 3 years of age most of the time. But they're still there. You're surrounded by spiritual beings who love you. If you could accept that, if you could let that in, you could feel safe, you could feel trusting, and you could feel confident. You could feel confident no matter what came. You would have support. You would have inspiration, intuitional response. You would know what to do. And if you didn't know what to do and made a total fool of yourself, you would get up, dust yourself off, and laugh a big laugh and say, boy, this reality is a crazy place. Let me at that again, rolling up your sleeve. This time I'm going to get it. I'm going to make a choice of power this time. I'm going to keep my light this time. I'm not going to give myself away or abandon myself, suppress myself, diminish myself, or try to control and manipulate. I'm going to stay present. And dear ones, that's a big clue too. When you are present, you can feel safety. You cannot feel safety if you're thinking about the future or feeling guilt about the past. The future tends to have a lot of fear. The past has a lot of guilt. You don't want to get trapped there. You can be free. You can be free of those traps. You can be free of the collective messages that you are alone, you are unloved, nobody cares about you. Well, maybe one or two people worry about you. The more they worry, the more they must love you. You've got to try really hard to overcome your obstacles. Try, and you don't have any guarantee you're ever going to figure it out or get it done. You have to do it all yourself. You have to create your whole reality all by yourself. It's your fault if anything goes wrong. See, dear ones, let all that stuff go. That's the hard way. So what we're going to do today is we're going to take you into safety, into the peace that comes with the love of the divine, if you're willing to open to it. We're going to bring you into connection with your reality as your friend, as your partner, so that you can understand it's there to support you. It's loving and caring. It's not out to get you. Nobody's out to get you. Nobody. Nobody. Anywhere. You're not under any danger of attack unless you choose to believe so. And then you attract an attacker so that you can work out whatever you want to work out there. You can trust, to feel an experience of trust. And then to realize in the future that this situation that you've been going through all your life, now that you're conscious of it, now you're conscious of the divine plan, you can have confidence. You can know what to do. You can know that you need to take your power. You need to love yourself and value yourself. You need to be a free being and make empowered choices for you. And trust that you'll have the resources that you need to shift and change yourself in such a way that you reveal more of the divine in you. And that's your homeward journey, is to see the divine, to acknowledge, to recognize, and to realize the divine in you. When you have that, you're done. And those who are called, considered saints in India, or the spiritual teachers, once they're done, you know, and they have followers and so on, sometimes their bodies go through tremendous suffering. You can then take on other people's pain out of love and compassion and move it through you. And it does not affect you. It does not bother you. It does not lessen or diminish who you are or the connection that you have with the divine. Most spiritual teachers do a whole extended stint of physical body suffering to demonstrate, in a sense, to their students, followers, that the body is indeed an illusion, and that's just the nature of the temporariness of the body. The safety does not lie in the body or in the physical plane. Safety has always been part of the divine. This is the last piece that most people get. Most people get love and freedom and power before they get safety and trust. It takes a bit more spiritual sophistication to get how this works, to acknowledge it, and to integrate the knowing of it into your life, into your behavior, into your actions, because it takes you outside the collective response. It takes you outside and beyond the ways of the world. It's a place that is mostly unknown. It's a new territory, and you're a trailblazer. And you chose to be one. Congratulations. What a tough job it is. You've been doing remarkably well, considering that you were in a fog of not knowing anything when you arrived. Look how much you know now. All right, so what we're going to do here is we're going to answer some questions. And then before the evening concludes, we're going to do a connection with you so that you can experience safety, trust, and be filled with the confidence of your future. All right, so first question.
Hi, Galexis, it's Julie.
Hello, dear one.
This is fantastic. Oh my gosh, how helpful this is. Thank you so much.
You're certainly welcome.
As you explained all that to us, I see I've done really, really well in one area of my life. The other is a disaster. So, and you, we had some private channelings, and you probably not remember. I know you remember.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, I realize the one I've done well in has given me safety and trust. The other one, I don't feel any of that at all. So can you help me tonight to work with the one that's not doing well?
All right.
The one that's doing well came as a total surprise because, you know, I'm working with the financial end of it, trying to find another job.
Yes.
And that hasn't manifested yet. But then because I decided I should get a roommate, a renter in my house to help with the finances, voila, in came this wonderful man. You remember that?
Yes.
And this is not a romantic situation or sexual
but
or anything.
But it's working out very well.
Oh, my
yes?
gosh. What a gem. Mm-hmm. And I really think, and all of a sudden, I mean, here's a wonderful man who's a friend. We connected like that.
Yes.
And you said when we had the private channeling, it'd be interesting to know what his astrology sign is. Well, we're both Libras. I knew you'd laugh.
Yes,
isn't
how
that
delightful.
Interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, all of a sudden, there's this wonderful man living in my house. It's been about a week or so. We totally trust each other. We totally have confidence there, and we're there to protect each other. I've never had an experience like this in my life. And
can you feel the shift of energy that you had with
yeah.
that?
Oh, yeah.
Can
wow.
you feel that energy
of
trusting?
Yes.
You feel the energy that there's a certain amount of confidence you've
Absolutely.
Got. Okay. Now, can you take that energy and just take that, separate it in a sense, out from the circumstances?
Okay.
All right? And just feel how good that feels in you. Right?
Okay.
Okay. Now, look at your finances. Look at your job thing. And feel that and look at your job thing at the same time.
Okay.
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 Now, when you do that, can you allow yourself to trust that one way or another it's going to work out okay?
I'm working on it.
Okay. Can you feel the trust that came with the man?
Yes.
Okay. Take that trust, apply it to the job situation.
Okay.
So that you can trust that a job of some sort will come to you.
Okay.
All right. You, so far in your life, you've not been penniless, hungry, and on the street.
No.
You're not going to do that this lifetime.
No.
And you know that.
I know that.
There's a part of you that knows that. That's just not your future, okay? Mm-hmm. Can you trust that you'll find the way to cover your bills?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you feel that trust that you feel now with the man, okay? And feel it in a relationship to your bills. Not looking at whatever form it must be, but that's enough money is going to be there for you to pay your bills.
Okay.
Because it has been so far.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Without all the fears of, but what if, and blah, blah, blah about the future. Let all that go. Future away. Okay. And all the concerns like, oh, all the choices and all the things I messed up and things that fell apart in the past. Let that go away. Be right in the present. With that energy of trust.
Okay.
Okay. Feeling the trust in and of itself, separate from the circumstance.
Okay.
And then go look at whatever it is where you feel you lack trust.
Okay.
Okay. Now, notice that when you do that, it starts shifting some energy. Have you noticed already? Can you notice it?
You mean from having the roommate? Or what do you, or you mean?
No, shifting the energy of your, shifting the approach that you have to your financial future. The trust that you've gotten, just to feel the trust, okay, I'm going to find one way or another, I'm going to have enough money. Can you feel that it can start to, it's modulating if you hold those two things together? Because so far, you've got job and equals money, okay? Mm-hmm. If I don't have a job, I won't have money. Okay, so you've got the form right there of the job being like, okay, I got to have a job, got to have a job, and it's got to be a certain type of job, and I got to have this, blah, 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 it's got to look like this, and it's got to be like this, and so on, and so on, and so on. And you don't have any trust about it.
Okay.
Because you are giving your reality, you're looking at what has happened in the past, recent past, and you're projecting it on your future.
Right.
Well, of course you're going to scare the bejesus out of yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But if you take the energy of trust, put it into the mix, and let it be like an alchemical soup. Let it be like a energetic formula. Okay.
I see what you're saying.
It's like a witch will put in, you know, eye of newt or whatever, you know. I'll put in all these different little things. Okay. And they'll all together come together and create something
mm-hmm.
magical. What you do is do it with energies, vibrations.
Okay.
The vibration of trust. Okay. Mm-hmm. The vibrations of confidence
mm-hmm.
that you've gotten from just dealing with this one roommate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You take that, you put it into the cauldron, okay, into the mix around money.
Mm-hmm.
Take out the form of the job and just let it be about paying my bills, because that's what you're about, paying
okay.
the bills and having a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
or maybe a lot more, but anyway, but having enough, okay?
Okay.
All right? If you can take confidence and trust and just put it into the pot.
Okay.
Just feel what changes. Just feel that there's something in there. It's not fully scary anymore.
Okay.
Can you feel that?
Yes.
Okay. The level of fear has reduced.
Yes.
Okay. And now, anyone else here who has a similar issue, mm-hmm. okay, you might want to try this yourself if it seems to please you. To think of a situation in your life where you've had a sense of trust, where you felt confident. A place that felt good to you, that you could, in a sense, almost rely on. Maybe it's a quality that you have that you can always rely on that you have. Something that is strong and supportive for you, that gives you confidence. And take that and put that into the mix with what you think is your weakest area. And just let them start to, you know, do a little bit of chemical reaction with each other. Just feel how strange it would feel to look at this area where you've had your greatest challenges, the commission of challenge, as we mentioned it earlier, and that instead of feeling your usual moods and fears and talking to yourself about all these beliefs, negative beliefs and limiting ideas and all the kind of dread or the kind of all the emotional stuff that has always run around it. Instead, you put into all that mix, you put in this confidence and you put in a sense of trust in yourself. And you start to feel, oh, something's changing. Sometimes people can feel it directly in their solar plexus, and it just starts, it's like having your stomach going gurgle, gurgle, gurgle. You know, something's going on in there, you know. So just feel that. It's your choice to put that in. If you've ever felt peace in your life, you say, like, yeah, wow, I felt peace. Put that into the mix. Have you ever felt peace in your life?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Put that feeling in there. Can you put peace and, dear one, having enough money to pay the bills? Or the fear that you won't have enough money to pay the bill, and put those two together, peace and fear together, what cancels out?
The fear.
That's right. What vibration level are you on now? You've already raised up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Can I ask a couple more things out of curiosity?
Yes.
Somehow I feel like this man and I have been together in another lifetime in some form. Maybe brother, father.
You're in the same spiritual family.
I thought so.
Mm-hmm. You're part of the... there are family groups, so to speak,
yes.
in the other side.
Yes.
Okay, there are certain networks. When you're a very young soul, it's like you're in a group class, or
mm-hmm.
And you love each other and you help each other, and everybody's got different personalities and so on, but you just grow up together, go through all the grades of school together, et cetera, et cetera. And he's one of your group.
I knew it.
All right. And generally, your group is a small group. It's generally something like, you know, between 15 and maybe 30 people, 30 souls.
Mm.
That's the immediate group. Then you have other networks that you know. But when you have somebody in that small immediate group, you just feel that connection. You see, because sometimes you really want to get together on a lifetime, you know, and hang out together a little bit. So congratulations on finding someone in your group.